hate that I got to do this disclaimer, this whole thing, like, whatever I say is my, you know, my words, my opinion, doesn't represent anybody else. How ridiculous is that? There's some people that, man, Joey just said that Big Macs are overrated. I'm suing McDonald's, you know. One of those guys that never, ever have to worry about suing me is my old friend Dan Seitz, who's going to join me today on the Everybody Lives, Everybody Needs a Little podcast. I'm going to ask Dan about his life, and I'm also going to ask for some suggestions or some advice on a concept that I have, a brand new podcast that I want to start, a weekly podcast. We'll get into that. It's something that just kind of popped off the top of my head after talking to Amy and Katie last week. But this week it's Dan. Dan and I are joining each other via Zoom meeting. He looks relaxed. I told him to relax. He was asking me, like, man, what are we talking about? It was like I was getting ready to interview a senator, man. And you've got your mug. Nobody can see you, but I can see it. Your name is on your mug. What is that? See the Sights. That's your YouTube channel. What, are you there? Did you mute yourself? What's up, man? I can't hear you. You muted yourself or something. Something went crazy. We were dealing with some of these broadband issues earlier, and don't worry, Dan. Hey, Dan, all I got to do is I can just stop the recording and then we can do it. I cannot hear you. I know what it is. I know what it is. It's me. So here's the thing. You're coming in on the same channel as my music. And then when I turn the music down on the board, I saw the panic in your eye because you're a guy that likes to fix things, right? You're a guy that likes to, you jump into action and you fix things. Dan is the type of guy that you want to be on a sinking ship with, because he will figure out a way to get off that ship safely. And he has enough empathy, more empathy than a lot of people I know, that will make sure that you get off safely with him. So Dan, let's try this again. Your mug said Sights. What was it? What is it? Your YouTube channel?
Yeah, the YouTube channel is See the Sights.
Yeah, that's your last name.
It's a pun on my last name, so Seitz. But it's some of my merch, which I was actually drinking out of a Star Wars mug when I was first on the Zoom trying to get this figured out with you, and then I needed to move upstairs, and the wife brought me my See the Sights mug, which, so all the credit goes to her.
For getting it to you. I appreciate people that use their last name in ironic ways in naming things, such as the Everyone Needs a Little podcast and See the Sights. If you got a cool name like that, you got to use it.
Dan. Yeah, it started with, there's a big thing called the Trolley Run. It's like a 5K here.
Yeah.
It's like one of the biggest fundraisers for the Children's Institute.
Here is Kansas City, if anybody's listening, here is Kansas City. I've gone worldwide, Dan. I gotta recognize my Kazakhstan listeners that are out there. I've got some in the Ukraine as well.
But yeah, so it's a fundraiser, 5K for the Children's Center for the Visually Impaired, which our daughter used to attend before she went into full public school system. And it's a 5K, but it's enormous. It's one of the biggest 5Ks in the region. And we put together a team clear back when, well, she's 10 now. She just turned 10 this month. So 8 years ago. And it was, we were called Set Your Sights.
I like that. I like that. Set Your Sights. Set a little.
So yeah, we played off that name a lot.
See, if you can do that, you can do that. Now, Dan, as much as I know about you, you're a father, you're a special needs dad. You're also a husband, right? You're a Chiefs fan and all that. Those are things that define you today.
Recent convert.
And I don't want a recent convert from what? From to the Chiefs? Did your team lose or something and you made it bad or something? Is that why you're wearing the shirt today? The brand new?
Recent as in since I moved to Kansas City 15 years ago. Mm. Like, I actually was not a Chiefs fan. They were probably my third least favorite team, but I fell in love with the city and I was like, how can I not back these guys? And that was when they were shit. So
trust me.
I jumped on the quote unquote bandwagon when it didn't have any wheels.
15 years ago, that's not jumping on a bandwagon, that's becoming a fan. So Dan, I know that being a dad is a huge part of your life, probably takes up 80% of your life with your two children, one special needs, you know, she's 10. And I know being a husband is a big part of your life, but that's not what I want to talk to you about today. Okay.
All right.
If anybody listens to the Everyone Needs a Little podcast, I say that like this is a professional podcast. If anybody listens to me rant and record myself, which, by the way, Dan, thank you, because you've mentioned a few times you've listened. This is a place where I like to try to rediscover my self-awareness, right? To try to work things out, to call myself out on shit, but also at the same time to appraise myself on accomplishments. What I want to talk to you about is, let's just start with this. How much different is your life from when you were 25 years old to what are you 45 now?
I'll be 50 in February.
You'll be 50. How much? Like, what are the big things that have defined you? What defined you when you were 25 compared to what defines you now that you're almost 50?
Because I'm a completely transformed person, a completely different person. So you mentioned I have a YouTube channel. I've been trying to make videos my whole life. I've just been into it ever since my dad bought a video camera clear back, and it was the kind with the suitcase on the side and all the three wires going up, and you had to carry it over your shoulder. And I've been making videos since I had one, and I can go back and see those, and I'm like, who is that guy? I would not want to hang out with me at all.
When you were 25.
When I was 25, right.
Now, I bring this up because you worked in the bar industry, and in fact, you were one of the best, I would say, around when it come to flair bartending, right? You also, your personality behind the bar was infectious. You weren't just a guy that was slinging drinks or, you know, a mixologist, but you also were friendly. You put on a show, and you knew your customers, right? Not like it's a local, you know, diner or a local spot, but even in the big places, like everybody that ordered from you, it's like they had ordered from you for a year straight, right? And you already kind of knew who they were. Has that always been the way? Because I know you're not bartending now, but is that like a microcosm of your personality overall, or was that something that you were just doing at work when you were bartending?
Have you ever heard of the Myers-Briggs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so
INTP right here.
Right, and ENFP.
Oh, I know exactly what that is. Yeah.
Right. So I am the most introverted of the extroverts.
Mm-hmm.
So I am an extrovert, but I'm the kind that would kind of like the bar business was great for me. I had this big piece of wood between us, and I could talk to you for a second, and then I could go over here and talk to somebody else for a second. Uh-huh. Go over here and talk to somebody else for a second. It was like a little bee going around to different flowers. I'm not really good. I mean, I can do this one-on-one situation, but I don't enjoy being at parties. I don't enjoy being in big crowds of people and trying to figure that out.
Is that what the video camera does?
If I throw a party, I'm hosting, I'm entertaining the whole time. I'm hardly ever in conversations with people for very long.
So we have a lot in common when it comes to that.
The bar business was perfect.
Is the camera, can you hear me okay? Because you're kind of jumping around on the internet here, but is that what the camera does also? Does it add that extra layer of protection? So you're not actually talking specifically to people, you're talking at people and showing them your life?
Yeah, I guess I'm more of a performer. I'd rather be on the stage, and then I just want this small group of people around me, and or no one. I mean, I stay up late often because, and my wife, you know, she'll go to bed at 9 or 10. I go to sleep 12 or 1, mostly because of my daughter, but also because everyone's gone to bed and I can be just left alone and recharge.
Do you, the reason I'm asking these, kind of getting the weeds a little bit on these questions, is because it sounds very, very similar to how I am. And I had a career where I got to be somebody who I wasn't, so I could pretend to be somebody all the time. And of course, being on the air, you have that big wall between, you know, talking to people and actually seeing them and then being able to talk back. Are you like that? I mean, you were obviously like that at 25, right? But did you just not understand it? And is that why you wouldn't want to hang out with who you were at 25 years old?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're the same. Yeah. Yeah. We're the same. You got a big old,
I mean, I used to go out a lot, but I would be out with people cause I kind of felt like I needed to be out. Plus I was single and that, you know, you go out and whatever, but I was kind of off on my own, chat with that person, I always felt it was just me in the room, not ever just sitting at the table with a group of people and having that group conversation, I guess.
So you're a lot like me,
yeah,
where
I've always been that person, but I didn't understand it about myself.
And tell me if you agree with this. I'm in a situation where I can talk one on one at dinner, one on two at dinner, or threesome. Then I can get to like the three and plus me. But once you start getting over that number, that's when I start wanting to check out. Is that the same? Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, bar business, growing up in the bar business, and actually I have like a 40% hearing loss on one ear. And so that makes it even harder, because now we get all these conversations going and I can't track them all. And I'm constantly saying, what? I can't hear you.
Right.
And so I'm done. I'm like, okay, time for me to go home. You guys have fun.
How does Casey, your wife, which you've been married over 10 years, obviously, because your daughter's 10.
Does 13 years.
13 years. What did she, when you guys made this commitment and you realize this is the woman for me, for, you know, my soul, what did she do that allowed you to accept more of who you are, right? That awkward guy who doesn't like to be in crowds, but also puts on this face and this facade of the party guy, you know, the one that's the leader. And when I say party guy, I've never known for you to be like a huge drinker, getting out of control kind of a guy, but just a guy that's like the P.T. Barnum, right? The one that's like, hey, look over here in ring number four, look over here in ring number two, and we got the acronym, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're throwing bottles and stuff like that. But there's got to be something that happened when Casey came into your life that you were able to just let a breath out, because she took over a lot of stuff that maybe you
Well, Casey is an INTJ.
So we're very close.
And she's the rarest Myers-Briggs. A female INTJ is as rare as it gets. And she comes from a marketing career. So she much prefers to be in that background, kind of pushing the buttons, figuring out how to put somebody else in front, you know, and she's perfectly fine with standing back behind the curtain and going, you know, okay, get out there, but make sure you say this when you go out there.
I got you.
And she's, you know, we didn't really get into our Myers-Briggs until, you know, 3 or 4 years into the relationship, but we were like, wow. Like once we did, we're like, wow. Okay. Now we get why we work so well together, because we're both willing to sit quietly with nobody else. We can just, you know, kind of go into her own little bubble. I'm not constantly forcing her to go out. You know, I'm perfectly understanding if she doesn't want to go out, or perfectly fine with when she says, hey, let's just stay here. I'm perfectly great with that. And like I said, she's the one who'll shove me out there, and I'm perfectly willing to stand out on the crowd.
Would you say that things are easier because maybe she has become and has and is that incredible foundation for you? Because listening to your story and comparing it with my own, I've never really had that hardcore solid foundation. So when I did put myself out there and pushed myself in a situation that didn't make me feel comfortable, I wasn't able to come back to somebody saying, hey, everything's going to be cool. Everything's going to be all right. You did a good job. Right. I know that was hard for you, but attaboy, it's being that INTJ type personality, I would assume that's what she kind of brought to you.
I wouldn't say that her INTJ allows me to come back after being on stage and her give me a hug and say, you did a great job. Actually, it's quite the opposite. You come back off the stage and she goes, okay, this is what you need to work on.
That's the J, man. That's the difference between the perceptive and the judgment in that J and the INTJ. Yeah. I'm the INTP, which is the other side. So maybe that's why I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But there was a little getting used to that for both of us. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I have the answer for you, Joey, because I can't, you know, let's just put it this way. It's November. It's the month of gratitude. I'm not trying to be all hokey with that, but I do try to remember to every day. All my life I try to, but November especially focus on being thankful for what I have. And yesterday, Casey and I were fortunate enough to go to the Chiefs game, sit in a suite while there. And Casey's sister and her husband watched the kids for us. And we were able to have like 4 hours where it was just us, not having to worry about whether the kids were okay, not having to interact with other people. It was just us. There were other people in the suite, but we didn't care. It was just, we were in our bubble, but we talked about, wow, like, look where we are. Look how fortunate we are. and how fortunate we are that we have found each other to create this world.
Yeah.
But I know that that is all predicated on luck. It really is. And sure, we could talk about that luck is this construct of preparation, meeting opportunity, blah, 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 blah. But yes, fortunately, we found each other. Do I have the secret sauce for finding that person? 100% no idea how to find that person at all, especially nowadays, during a pandemic when you can't even socialize.
Yeah, I don't think there is a secret sauce. I talked to my friend Joe Webb. He's down in Florida. He's been married for 20 years. He's your age, a little bit older than me, I believe. And he just said it comes down to toleration. You find somebody who can tolerate you and you can tolerate them, the rest will just work its way out. That's what he said the secret to a relationship.
Casey and I, we met in May, and we went on a trip together in September.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a 4-day trip to Chicago. And it was like, okay, well, this is the test. If we can travel together, you know, we'll probably be okay for a little while at least. And and sure, we have had to tolerate each other many times in our relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was hard with Hudson. You know, we had to go through a lot of counseling, and we had to find our way back to our relationship because both of us were dealing with heavy depression, and therefore we couldn't, you know, both of us were needing and neither of us could give. And so, you know, there have been a few times that for longer than 6 months that we didn't sleep in the same room and we barely talked to each other because, you know, life, we're humans. We, you know, and we had to figure out how to get through that. But we made an agreement before we got married that was, look, we recognize that our future is just out there and open. And so we know that we said, look, there could be a year, it could be 5 years that we just fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
And so we just have to get through that trudge and whatever we got to do to get through that, we'll find our way back because we know that our bond is strong. It's just that something is affecting that and pulling it apart. Let's get back to that eventually. Let's just hang in there. Let's just make sure we don't kill each other and we'll
right.
be fine.
So yeah. So basically if you love somebody, you don't necessarily always have to like them. It's not.
Oh, God, right. Exactly.
That's some trauma from my life when I was younger. My mom said, I love you to death, Joey, but I just don't like you right now. And I'm like, holy shit, mom, you can't say that to me. But then I'm an adult now, and I'm like, yeah, I was a prick. And I'm not surprised my mom said that. With your wife being, you know, that INTJ personality, anybody listening that doesn't know about Myers-Briggs, the first letter, it's Myers-Briggs is 16 different personalities. These two ladies, psychologists, determined. You know, you have a majority of one of 16 different personalities, and there's four different letters in each one of those personalities, and each letter kind of stands for something. In this case, the first letter being an I, and then you said that you're an ENFP or ENSJ or
yes.
something. ENF. The E stands for extrovert. The I stands for introvert. And as Dan says, he's the closest to an introvert as an extrovert can be. Those letters all kind of represent. I also do recognize that Myers-Briggs is the horoscopes of psychology, right? It's like you don't put all your money into it. It's just a really good idea of who you are. So that, I guess my question is, when you're doing these videos, because your videos are fantastic. I watched two of the three parts of the RV trip that you just took to Garden of the Gods with your in-laws.
Hey, thanks.
And, I'm thinking like with Casey, your wife, is there any time that she just says, Dan, put the camera down, or Dan, you know, don't put me on camera, or Jesus, Dan, did you just say that like that? You know, does that happen?
Yeah. Not as much now,
but in the okay.
definitely in the beginning. In fact, if you were to go back and watch the whole library, you'd hardly see Casey. And so many times in the comments, people were saying like, where's the wife? What does the wife do? What does the wife even do? What, she doesn't help him with anything. It was like
perception.
I was all the time in there trying to like field those saying, whoa, hold it. Like I'm controlling the narrative here. This is all my perspective. And she doesn't enjoy being on camera. you know, but she's slowly gotten better at warming up to that because she's seen that, like, really, this is just this diary, this journal of our life just happens to be on video. So it's often we'll sit down and rewatch something from 3 years ago because it's a great memory, you know? So yeah, she's warmed up to it. And plus she's seen that, I mean, now we've got a lot of followers, we've got some income coming from it. And as an INTJ, she's like, okay, this makes sense here. We can, yes. Okay.
Yeah. See, the sites on YouTube is not necessarily, I mean, the overall kind of idea that I get from it is like, hey, listen, we're a family. We have a special needs daughter. This is what we do. This is what our everyday life is like. Here's the hustle and bustle. Here's the relaxation. Here's the joys. Here are the sorrows. But I think it's much more than that. I mean, I think it's so much more than that because that doesn't define the family. It's a big part of it. But I think it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if you were Bat Dad. If I didn't know what your kids looked like, right? I would not be surprised Dan Seitz was, if anybody isn't, you know Bat Dad, the guy that does the videos of the bat.
Of course, yeah.
You know.
The guy's hilarious.
And yells at his wife, you know, when she scares her and stuff like that. Like that personality reminds me of you. Like that's the fun you like to have, right? And so if anybody that's listening to this podcast is like, oh, I don't know anything about special needs or blah, 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 blah. It's not that. Like, you need to follow the page because one, it's just pure Dan, right? There's nothing more else. There's no polishing. It's just pure Dan. And number two, I like comparing in a good way my life to your life, right?
Okay.
In the good ways and also in the bad ways.
That's really good to hear. See, and that's what I'm trying to do with that is show how normal special needs families are. Because I think there are, you know, preconceptions of what a special needs family is. You know, there may be categories of those. You know, there's the ones that are just all heavily Christian and leaning into their church and okay. And then there's the ones that just feel sorry for themselves. There are the ones that are just always rah, rah, rah all the time. And it's, people think, oh, well, special needs family is this,
right,
in this box. And it's no, we're just like everyone else. We just have this other piece, just like everyone else has some other piece in their life. You know, maybe both parents have to work and there's latchkey kids, or maybe there's the stay at home mom, or maybe we're just like everyone else.
No, I get it.
That's what I'm trying to show.
I get it. And I think that we tend to put people in boxes. And then my biggest thing with you.
Oh, you lost me?
Well, I'm going to say, you look like you're clear now. There? Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
And then I'm going to.
Okay. There you are.
Here's
okay,
what I, back. So I'm going to give you this. And then I want to tell you about this podcast idea that I have. Right. And then you and I are going to talk later on because you're interested in getting into podcasting and things like that. And it's really fun. And to me, it's very therapeutic. The reason I say that comparing lives is if I'm down on myself or something like that, right? Here's a guy who lives almost an exact opposite life from me, who's married, has children, right? I'm not married. I don't have children. We come from basically the same, you know, background. Did you grow up in Topeka?
Buddy, I grew up in North Topeka.
Yeah. So there you go. you went to Seaman or did you go somewhere else?
Okay. I went to Hayden.
Okay, Hayden. Oh, I'm a Catholic guy.
I would have gone to Topeka High.
I got
you. I grew up like in the heart of Pappin's Landing.
I got you. There
by the river.
Down where I just read
near the mission.
Where I just read in the news that area where 1300 block of Eugene, where that dude was shooting at kids that were trying to steal his Trump signs out of his front yard. That's the area. So we come from the same background. We've had similar paths in our early lives, both working in the bar industry, both of us being, you know, secretly kind of introverted, but having to put this outside. And now I get to like today and I'm like, shit, man, all the things that have happened to me. And I look at Dan and I go, this guy's like trucking. And it doesn't mean that he's got this big smile and this fakeness that's going on in his YouTube videos. Because I know that life is tough for you sometimes, not just for you, but also the toughness that you take on from your wife being a business owner and your kids and all those worries. But it just makes me think like, holy shit, if Dan can keep smiling and keep trucking, right? It's not that it's bad. You don't have a bad life at all. It's just the fact that you just handle it. And it doesn't seem to. I mean, behind the scenes, it might be different. It doesn't bring you down. It doesn't bring you down at all, right?
Well, of course it brings me down.
At least on the front part, the advertising you do of yourself online through social.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But I mean, do we need to share?
Let me give you an example then. I don't want to put you in a position where you're sharing something you feel, vulnerable or something like that. When I was watching your video.
No, not at all.
Oh, go. When I was watching, finish your thought then.
Vulnerability. I have no problem with vulnerability, by the way. So, and I think of that as a superpower, actually. So, in fact, I enjoy that about you. You are vulnerable at times, especially on your podcast and occasionally on your Facebook. I'll see a post from you that I'm like, that's good. That vulnerability is a superpower because that is self-awareness. That is courage.
I agree.
To share that, look, things aren't always so rosy. And I know mine seems that way often.
No, but it doesn't seem rosy,
I'm trying
Dan.
To be vulnerable too, because it's like,
you're 100% vulnerable. What I'm just trying to say is that the way that you problem solve and the way that you address challenges, at least in the videos, something very similar to the fact of when you guys got to an Airbnb in Colorado and your daughter was going to stay in a certain room, but you ended up, hey, listen, we're going to put our daughter and our son in the basement, right? It's a bigger area, that kind of thing. And it sounded like it was a challenge to and you had to get your daughter down the stairs. It wasn't, wheelchair accessible, but you're on camera going like, hey, this thing came up. We figured out this is going to be better. It works out better. There were some challenges, but you know what? We knocked it out and we're going to move on. That's what I'm talking about.
I've been talking about this exact thing with Casey and talking about how I'm trying to bring this up on my YouTube channel, which is, I realize that I'm I don't know how to do this. So let me figure out how to do this. So what? It's a challenge.
Big right.
Deal. Challenges are what keep us alive. I mean, so I think a lot of people, not just special needs families I think a lot of people go, well, fuck it. This is hard.
Right.
Or this doesn't fit in the way I think it's supposed to be. And therefore, fuck it. I quit. Not everything's perfect. And it's like, wait a minute. Like, who cares if it's perfect? Like, figure it out. I mean, really, just do say, yeah.
Take a
I
shot.
I may not be able to do this, but at least I'm going to try to do
right.
this. Figure it out.
So you and I, that makes 100% sense, right? But then I catch myself in situations where I'm like, God damn it. I keep getting kicked in the balls. This is going on. And then I pop on one of your YouTube channel and I'm like, you know what? It's not that fucking bad, right? So basically what I'm trying to say in a long version is that you're an inspirational guy, dude. And I appreciate you being an inspirational guy. And if I wasn't so introverted and so goddamn guarded, not against people, you would definitely be in my inner circle. I mean, I don't have an inner circle really anymore because I've focused on my career and focused on that. And also just dealing with some self-awareness, but absolutely you're a guy that I would want in my inner circle, hands down, dude. And whatever that means, I'm not asking you out to dinner or anything like that. I'm just saying,
no, that's a great compliment.
If I could get off my fucking shit, if I could put my shit to side and get over it, right, which was what I'm working on. And I love your wife. Casey's always been intimidating to me, and it's not her fault. She's an introvert.
Yeah, she's intimidating to me.
Yeah, she just is that type of person where you have nothing but ultra respect for a woman like that. But at the same time, she's a very, because of her personality, now knowing her personality, her seriousness comes off as a personality, but she's not hardcore serious as she comes. I guess the kids call it like resting bitch face. Right. You heard that?
Yeah, right.
Where somebody looks like they're pissed off all the time, or they look like they're serious all the time, but they're really not.
No.
And that's how I've always felt with Casey. And I've always respected her. And I've also, she's been there when I was at my wildest and doing dumb shit and being on the radio. So I always thought those people that I respected judged me, right? Judged me for how I lived my life. And that's just ridiculous with Casey.
Well, she did. INTJ, which is the judgment, but not in a bad way.
Yeah, she's the type of person that she allows the new data and new metrics to come in to adjust the way she thinks. Now, I'm going to let you go here in a second, but I want to pass off this idea that I have for a brand new podcast, because I have a pretty wide network on Facebook when it comes to nationwide, Canada and all that. So I'm thinking about doing this weekly podcast called Forced Friends, okay? Where I'm going to pick two random people that I'm friends with on Facebook. Like, let's say you here in Kansas City, dad of two, married for, 13 years. And I'm going to team you up and I'm going to interview you with Mabel Peralta. Single woman, Dominican, first generation, lives right outside New York City. Got the mouth like a trucker, like looks like Marilyn Monroe if she came from Dominican Republic. And just have a conversation about anything and everything. Or I would take... You know what I mean? I would take Andrew Meyer.
That sounds incredible.
Andrew Meyer, who's so a former Major League soccer player living up in Seattle. I'm going to team him up with my buddy Brad, who lives down in Texas, who likes to smoke meat and thinks of Texas barbecues. I think that would be fun. What do you think?
I love that idea. In fact, I'm already sad that I'd only get to do it every now and then.
You never know. You never know. If this is something, I know your schedule is crazy, but... I could always use a co-host for something like that. And
right.
The reason I bring that up is because when I was talking to Mabel, and I got just a few more minutes and I'll let you go. I know you're a busy guy. I realized we're the exact same age and we grew up in two different parts of the country. And I realized I didn't know who a Dominican person was until I was like in my 30s, right? You grew up in the same area I did. I had a Jewish friend and I had no idea she was Jewish until I was like 27 years old. I didn't even know we had a synagogue in Topeka, right? I was in a situation that our running back, and I went to West, which, I mean, it's a majority white school, that my running back, Sean Smith, who was a black guy, he had to act a different way around us than he did when he was in his own culture and his own, you know, his friends that he had away. And I was like, I was blown away, dude. So we have all these differences, and I think that this is kind of cool. We're not going to talk sex, politics, or religion. So you're on board? You like that idea?
100%.
Perfect. And it's I'm going to call
that
it...
That is...
Forced friendship.
Yeah, that is an amazing idea.
All right, cool.
I'm so on board that like if you don't do this, I'm gonna be pissed off.
I'm gonna do it.
About it all the
time. I wanted to get your feedback.
When is forced friends happening, Joey? What is it? Are you gonna freaking do this, Joey, or not?
We're gonna make it happen.
Oh, good. You're building another table in your house. What about the podcast, Joey?
Yeah, I'm building a table for the podcast, which, by the way, when this pandemic is over, you can't see it, but I do have this giant table with, I've got, there'll be three microphones along with mine, so four people all total that can come into the house. Nice. It's a full room. It's a sit down, sit around the table. Kitchen's right there if you want to grab a brew or some tea and just have conversations, have fun. I can't wait till this pandemic is over. But I meant everything I said, Dan, about you are a guy that I would want in my fucking circle. So
I really appreciate that, Joey.
If I work on, and I know that you've been nothing but gracious to me. When I was closer to you and Casey and your sister-in-law and brother-in-law, and maybe we can get to that place again if I can get over my fucking shit. All right.
Yeah. You know, we just get through this crap and you know, we're going to get through it.
Sweet.
That's just the thing. No, crap doesn't last forever.
No, it doesn't. We'll see.
Eventually
what happens.
The flies eat it and it's gone. And you gotta eat something to make new crap. So we'll get through this.
Well, Dan Seitz.
That was a weird.
No, man, it's good, man.
Analogy.
Dan Seitz, he's got See the Sights. It's on YouTube. You got to check it out. If you want to see some fun family stuff, some vulnerability. They can't see you. I can see you. He's putting up his merch right now, showing that Star Wars and that See the Sights. Dan, thanks again, man. And we'll see you soon, all right?
All right.
And I like to tone out.
Brother.
I like to say one thing before at the end of every episode. I want to say it to you directly. Dan, have a great day, man. Keep smiling.
Thanks, Joey.